For life to me, there was powerful thought.
Yes.
We're going to just give you something very simple this morning, things we should know, but I don't believe we, there's a lot of things we know, but we don't pay it on mind. There's a lot of things that we don't, we may say we know, but yet we don't act upon it. And to know that men, women, boys and girls are perishing, to know that, I don't know that people realize that. A few things I want to tell you this morning, just before we get into the message. Life and death is so sure. Life is so short. Even at 90 years old, life is short for us. You know, there's not that many 90, 95-year-olds that we see make it that far. Anymore here lately, there's been a lot of 60 years old and my age, a lot of 70 year old. Can I tell you, if that would be the case, there's many of you on borrowed time, or some of you are already on a few years of grace, and some of us are coming right again. We don't realize the seriousness of death. And there's so many falsehoods about death. You will die if Christ does not come before, and you're a Christian, and you will die if Christ comes before. You'll be raptured out. If you're not a Christian, then you'll be left behind, and then you will die, and to hell you'll go. I mean, that's simplicity. There's some things you need to understand about that. So often people wait till the last minute to want to be, to prepare. Can I tell you that it don't work that way? Just recently, I was called to a home and I know why I was called. I was called there to speak to the person that was dying. I know why I was called there. But there was no response. There was no consciousness. There was no ability to speak. There was no ability to communicate. There was no ability to react to anything that was said. Can I tell you, salvation don't come like that. Now that is a lie that people believe that, people say, well, there's hope right up to it. Well, let me tell you something. When your brains land out there on that yellow line in the road, you're not going to call on God.
That's right. That's right.
Can I tell you, when they're stuffing the tube down your throat and they're shocking your chest,
Yeah. You're
not going to call on God. Now, you say, well, you can. Well, I'm not going to say that it's impossible. I'm just going to tell you, you ain't going to do it. I've been in, now we got nurses here. Y'all worked emergency room and everything. How many people call on God when y'all running that tube down their throat? You ever heard anybody call on God, Cindy? Y'all been, have you ever heard anybody call on God when y'all was shocking them? When y'all was hollering clear? You ever hear anybody holler, wait a minute, I won't pray. You ever heard anybody do it? We don't do that. It ain't that maybe you can't, you don't. See, death is so quick and so real and so serious, and yet people are not preparing. People are not preparing for death. It's not young people and just certain young people. And it's not mean young people that die. And it's not mean old people that die. People die. People die. Babies die. Little kids die. Teenagers die. Middle-aged die. Old people die. People just die. And it happens quicker. You don't. Nobody plans on dying. If you got somebody in your family terminally ill and you know it's going to happen and they're not conscious and you're holding their hand when they die, it's a shock. You still don't plan on death. It affects you different. You're not ready for it like that. And calling on God to save don't enter your mind. I'm telling you, it don't enter your mind. If you're not saved, you need saved now, today, because you're lost now, today. You need Christ now, today. That's reality. That's true. And And I see it, and I've seen it all these years, over and over. I have been in the hospital room when a man was laying there. He was unconscious. He was not responsive in any way. And let me tell you something. God has given me a good voice. And if you're just asleep and I come in your room, you're going to be awake when I speak to you by your bed. And I've even spoken to some that they said could not respond and they woke up. Okay, seriously. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm not a divine healer, but I've prayed over some that woke up.
Right.
I've seen it work many ways. Okay. But can I tell you that, this years ago, I was with a man and I give him the gospel. I asked him to squeeze my hand. There was no response. When somebody's eyes shut and they're still there, you can see. If you know anything, if you've dealt with people and been around death, I've watched a lot of people die. And their eyes will even twitch. You can see movement. Am I telling it right? Yeah. Nurses, y'all's here today, nurse. But there was nothing in this person. And I've watched family get down beside the bed and pray. And they thought because their prayer was going to save the man. It don't work that way. Brother Rick was telling us we need to pray and we need to put feet to our prayers and pray for our lost. And we do. We need to pray that God gives them mercy and another opportunity. But you know that our prayer won't save them. If that was the case, I wouldn't have no lost family. If that was the case, I wouldn't have no lost friends. Yeah. The urgency of souls. In this year, just the last 2 months, I've seen more than I want to see. And the urgency of souls is greater to me. Talked with a man earlier this week. And I asked him, just cut everything just flat out. Are you a saved man? He said, no, if I die, I'd go to hell. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm working on it. No, it don't work that way. That's what I told him, it don't work that way. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It don't work that way. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday when I talked to him. Think about this. No, if I die, I go to hell. Now, I didn't ask him if he'd go to hell or heaven. I said, are you a saved man? No, if I would die, I'd go to hell. Now, that's about as plain as you can answer a man.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, well, what are you going to do about it? You need to do something now. He said, well, I'm working on it. Well, how long is that going to take? That's why I asked. How long is that going to take? Well, I don't know. Are you working on it this morning? Are you trying to figure it out this morning? Are you trying to hope it all pans out all right? Are you waiting on some lightning bolt, you know? And are you wanting religion? Is that what it is? Are you working on it? Listen, that ain't what you need. You need Jesus this morning. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I come. And Lord, there's so many things on my mind. There's so many people on my mind this morning. My hands are tied when it comes to salvation. That is completely up to you and them. And Lord, I pray this morning that even those who are unsaved, those who are lost, those who are pretending, those who, whatever the case may be this morning, they're without you, I pray this morning you will show mercy and convict them of their sins, draw them to a place of repentance that they might repent of sin and self and receive you. Lord, Brother Rick Vance told us this morning, I got family lost. I need to do something. Oh, God, I pray this morning that our eyes and our mind and our hearts will be changed. We need to quit this naive attitude that everybody's okay. Because, Lord, I know everybody ain't okay. Help us this morning, I pray. Thank you for salvation. Lord, I don't deserve nothing, and you saved me. And Lord, I believe you can save anybody, anywhere, anytime, as long as they come by your terms. It ain't going to be on their terms. And Father, I'm asking you now to help us. Lord, touch me fresh, cleanse me, that I might be a clean vessel to preach this morning. I know I'm a wretch. I know I'm filthy. But Lord, cleanse me and use me this morning as you see fit. Speak to every heart, I pray, of those on live stream that's listening, of those in this sanctuary today, Lord, I pray. Downstairs, as Brother Rods preaches to them downstairs, convict hearts this morning. And them young people, Lord, if it's lost, then or save them this morning, please. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're just going to use one verse this morning, preach one verse. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Alright, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Are you there? We'll read it. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Everything that we need to know is summed up in that verse right there. Everything that has happened for us, the reason that it's happened, how it happened, everything for salvation is summed up in that one verse this morning. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now, we've preached in the last few weeks, we've preached on hell. We've preached on saying no to God. We've preached on just how lost the unsaved are. That's what we've preached on the last three Sundays, last three Sunday mornings. And this morning, I'd like to preach to you the remedy. The remedy for hell, the remedy for saying no, the remedy for the lostness of the unsaved, and the remedy is Jesus Christ. Now, you need to understand that this morning. Now, I like, I'm not trying to make you mad or anything this morning, but I like personally, I like what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now and the changes being made, but that's not going to help us when it comes to salvation, when it has nothing to do. Now, it may or may not help us as a country. It may be the worst thing that's ever happened. I don't know the answers to that. I'm just telling you, I personally like it, but I might be stupid. I don't know. And I may be the smartest man in the world too. I don't know. But that ain't going to help me or you either one when it comes to salvation. That has nothing to do with our eternity. What's happening? What is happening in our capital? All right. And Donald Trump ain't the Antichrist. Just so you'll know, Obama wasn't. John F. Kennedy wasn't. Obama's not neither. Neither's Mitch McConnell or Shiflett or whatever his name is. And neither none of them people. All right. Them are not the Antichrist. So get all that out of your mind. All right. But what I want you to understand, that's stuff where my help's at. I may personally like it, but that's not the answer. Personally, I like all the activity that's been going around the church and the activity of the Bible College and activities that the young people are going on and the youth rallies and everything that's happening. Personally, I like all that. I'm for it. I like it all, but that's not the answer. That's not the answer. It's good. I think it's going to be beneficial, but I don't believe it to be the answer. All right, I believe it to be a help, but I don't believe it to be the answer. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is not changed. The answer is still the same, and people don't want to take the obvious. They don't want to take the answer, right? I'm a big advocate for homeschool. All right, I like homeschool. I wish that I had enough sense that when my boys was young, I had homeschool, and I'd have homeschooled my boys. Personally, I like that. That's my opinion. All right, now, I'm not telling you that's Bible. I'm just telling you that's my opinion. I do believe the Bible tells me I'm responsible for my kids' education, and I can probably get you enough scripture to tell you how to teach them at home. But nevertheless, that's not the message this morning, but I just want you to know I'm for it. I'm for homeschool. I'm for Christian school if it's done right. But can I tell you, sometimes it's just a out for responsibility, and the Christian school just as hellish as the public school. But that's not all the time. But nevertheless, I'm still for Christian school. I'm for Bible college. In fact, I'm a member of a Bible college now. I reckon I'm gonna be one of them college educated guys. All right, I'm for all that. I want you to know I'm for things that help people. I'm for things that encourage people. I'm for things that'll make you a better person. But that's not the answer. The answer for your salvation and the need you have spiritually is nothing but Jesus Christ. That's it. Amen. There's no other answer. There's nothing else. Now, all these things may be helps and good, and I'm for them. But that's not the answer. That's not the answer. I'm for making people better people. I think that regardless whether you're saved or lost, you ought to be trying to do better.
Amen.
If you ain't no account, you ought to quit being no account and start being worth something.
Sure.
I just think that's common sense. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
I mean, I believe it'd be common sense. I believe that'd be a help there. If you're lazy, I think you ought to quit being lazy and get you a job. Huh? Quit being do-less and get you a job. You ain't disabled. There's a lot of people ain't nothing wrong with them.
Right.
The only thing is, your reason you hurt is because you've laid around all your life.
Hello.
Huh? They never worked. You didn't get disabled when you was born like a lot of people are, you know. No, I know people are, but I'm talking generally.
Yeah.
Is everybody all right with that?
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. You ought to be better. You ought to do better. People ought to do better. If you lie, y'all quit lying. If you cheat, y'all quit cheating. Huh? If you're fooling around, y'all quit it. If you're drinking, you ought to stop it. I mean, that's just common sense, ain't it? But that ain't your answer. That's not your answer. I believe that you ought to be good to your family. I believe the husband ought to be good to the wife. Wife ought to be good to their husband. I believe parents ought to be good to their children. I believe children ought to respect their parents. But that ain't the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. That's the answer. All these things is great and will help. I believe it helps society. I believe if we just acted like we had some sense, it'd even help a church.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I believe it'd help. Think about it. I believe if you called out a thief when they was a thief, everybody ought to be happy about it.
Amen.
All right? But that ain't the answer. That ain't the answer. I love singing. I love singing. I like to hear people sing, and I like all kinds of singing. I like good singing and bad singing. I do. I like singing. A lot of singing that people do, some of the worst singing is the best singing.
Right.
Yeah, come on.
That's exactly right.
You know? Some of the off-key singing is some of the best singing.
Yes.
You know? To me.
Yes.
But that ain't the answer. That ain't the answer. I like preaching. But can I tell you, just preaching is not the answer. Now, it does please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. But that is a tool. It's not salvation. The preacher nor preaching brings salvation. It's Jesus. It's just a tool. The preaching is the tool because it confounds the wise. That's what the Bible says. But that's not the answer. See, the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is still the cross. The remedy is still the cross of Jesus Christ. That's still the remedy. Let me give you a few thoughts here real quick this morning. Islam. Islam. Islam is a religion. We know that is very popular. All right. Very popular in our country, even. All right. And we even have those who practice Islamists come to church here. And here it ain't been a few years ago, we had the man, and I've told you, I've reminded you about it many times. The first Sunday he come, the feller come, he was a Muslim, and he was more than welcome. They're all welcome. I'll welcome every one of them. I don't care if even he got a knapsack on their back. They're welcome. They can bring their little book bag in, blow us all up. I mean, they're still welcome. I'm not going to tell them they can't come in. I'm going to preach to them the gospel, because what are they going to do? Send me to heaven? Just so you'll know, I'm not scared. Okay? But when he come, I went by Gary, he sat back there where Matt and Angie are. It's where he sat. I went back there and sat in him, and I introduced myself. We talked, and I said, he told me what he was a devout. He said, I'm a devout Muslim. He said, and I'm searching. I said, I got one question for you. And he said, what's that? I said, what do you do with your sin?
Yeah.
I didn't ask him about his mosque. I didn't ask him about his Bible. I didn't ask him about his one. What do you do with your sin? He said, well, I think you need to stop right there. I said, you already think it involves you. So you need to listen this morning. And that morning I preached on the cross. And I said, you need to listen this morning because I'm going to preach on the cross. And that's your answer.
Amen.
That's what I told him. Now, if he never ever hears it again, he heard it that Sunday.
Right.
You know why? Because that's the remedy. I'm going to jump down his throat because of my patriotism and my patriotic stand and all that. I wasn't going to jump down his throat and condemn him because to me, a Muslim's no different than a drunkard.
Sure.
Lost is lost.
Right. Amen.
To me, a Catholic and a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon and all that, to me, there's no difference. They're just lost.
Amen.
To me, you that pretend to be a church member, pretend to be saved, there's no difference in you and a murderer. To me, there's no difference.
Right.
Lost is lost.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yeah.
And the only remedy is Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only remedy. Now, people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you're just wrong.
Right.
Neither is there salvation in any other. The Bible says, neither is there salvation, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is it. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Yep.
I mean, it don't get no simpler than that. So I want to preach to you the remedy. But Islam says, they reject the truth of a sin-bearing Savior.
Right.
They say every man carries the fruit of his own deeds. They say it's foolish to think a prophet of God should die that way. That's what Islam believes.
Yes.
That's what they say. I didn't say that's what they say.
Right.
All right. Hinduism. All right. And your people from India. And the ones that got the little dot between their eyes. That's not a bullseye.
No.
We make that remark. Well, they put that bullseye there for a reason. That's slanders. You're not going to win them with that attitude.
That's right. Amen, preacher.
All right. But our doctors, majority of our doctors, good doctors, are Indians.
Yes.
Amen.
And they're Hindus. Okay? And here's what they'll tell you. They accept the cross. They accept it. It's because I've asked them. And they'll tell you, yeah, they believe in the cross. But they believe in the cross historically.
Right.
But reject the significance of it. The cross is the remedy. Christ is the remedy this morning. Huh? Humanism. Humanism reject the truth of the cross because of self-reliance.
Yes.
Anybody in this church building that think that you've got to be good to go to heaven, you're a humanist and you're denying the sufficiency of the cross and you're going to go to hell.
Yes.
If you think you can just be good and go, you're sadly mistaken.
That's right. Amen.
Because it's not in your goodness. That's not the remedy. The remedy is Jesus Christ and the cross.
Amen.
I'm glad you're good. You ought to be good. You ought not be no account. But that's not the answer. We still okay? You listening to me? Catholicism. Catholicism, very popular. Catholicism is used by a lot of people to call us a Christian nation. But the Pope said that the cross of Christ was his biggest failure. That's what the Pope said. That Calvary was Jesus Christ's biggest failure. Are you listening to me? Well, they're good people. There ain't no good people. The Bible calls them lost and wicked. You say, well, I'm a good person. The Bible says you ain't. The Bible says there is none good. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's what the Bible says. A professor at Oxford University is supposed to be a Christian university said that Christianity is the world's worst of all religions because it rests on the doctrine of original sin and vicarious atonement. And a Christian university says that Christianity is the worst of all religions because it believes in the vicarious death of Christ. Wait a minute.
Lord help.
Are you listening to me? The evangelicals today. Just want y'all to know I'm not an evangelical. I'm a Baptist preacher. All right. So I'm not in that evangelical voting crowd. I'm just an old Baptist preacher, believes the Bible. And Cheryl sung her this morning, I believe a word's true and every word, every line, I believe it. Huh? But then evangelicals say that the cross today is not necessary as it used to be. This is their statements on doctrinal statements and what we believe and where we stand. That's where we're at today. And I'm afraid that there's even some here today that don't rely upon the cross. I believe there's some here today that's still relying on what you do and what you don't do. I believe there's some here today that still rely on being good. And you think you're almost good enough. And hopefully that when you die, you'll be good enough to be accepted. I know there's some listening today that believe that. The people that believe they got to keep it don't believe that Christ does it all to start with. If you think you got to keep it after God gives it to you, then you don't believe He's sufficient to do it right to start with.
That's right.
So I want to preach to you the remedy this morning. The remedy is the cross. See, the remedy is still the cross. It's still Jesus. It's still the blood that washes away every sin. It's still the empty tomb. It's still the gospel. So I want to preach to you just real quick here this morning on the remedy, the cross of Jesus Christ. It's all right here in this verse. Let's start with it here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Is everybody understanding me this morning? Not condemning. No, listen, I'm not mad at a soul. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But I will not let you leave here today without not knowing the truth.
Amen.
I'm not going to pat you on the back and say you're all right because you ain't all right. You ain't all right. Huh? If we lived right, we'd have more influence on the lost. We say we're Christians, we'd have more influence on our family and our friends if we was living right. I don't believe none of us living right. I don't believe there's anybody in the church house living right. I don't believe there's anybody listening to me on live stream that's living right. Because we ain't got no influence. Because you can't tell much difference between the saved and the lost. The way we talk, the way we act, where we go, what we do, how we dress. And I believe our influence is down the tubes. That's what I believe. So when I'm preaching to all of us.
Amen.
See, I ain't preaching one or two. I'm preaching to everybody.
Amen.
I believe that's why the Apostle Paul said, "For I'm a wretch."
Yeah, that's right.
The greatest Christian that we ever have record of, as far as I'm concerned, was the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm a wretch." Well, I don't measure up to him, so I'm worse than a wretch. I believe that's the bottom line. I believe that's the truth. Now, we can pat ourselves on the back until we got bursitis in our shoulder, but it ain't going to help us until we change. And the only thing that's going to change us, if we get a view of the cross, a view of Christ, and who He is and what He done, and what He expects out of us. He expects nothing of us but to follow Him and to let Him come in and change our life and be like Him. Every time I pray anymore, I think of Brother Butch, if you've never taught me anything, let me tell you, you've taught me the greatest thing is that I need to be more like Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Butch, for indwelling that in my soul and my mind that I need to be more like Christ.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. When you go on the glory, can I tell you, that ought to be on the epitaph of your tombstone, that I could be more like Christ.
Yes.
That's what that man has told us.
Amen.
Are you listening to me this morning? It ought to change us and move us. So let's see just for a bit. Are we all okay?
Yes.
It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin." What I want to look at to start with is the suffering of the cross. The suffering of the cross. Extreme to the limit suffering of the cross. Do you understand that this morning? That the cross, where God put on a robe of flesh, where God come down from heaven. God, are you hearing me? The Creator God come down and put on a robe of flesh and went under to die on Calvary's cross for me and you. That God, the Creator, would die for the creation. That God that spoke the world into existence would come down and condescend so low to die in your place this morning. Oh, when He was on the cross, you was on His mind this morning. How to love you so much to do that very thing. The physical suffering. Brother Jared told us a little bit about it Sunday night, but as they scourged Him and beat Him and pulled the cat of nine tails away where it would rip and pull meat and expose His ribs and His insides,
right,
where it would pile up the meat and the blood at the scourging post. All that the Scripture might be fulfilled, by His stripes we are healed. How are you hearing me? To take multiple beatings for Him to smote Him and smote Him and smote Him, for Him to press the crown of thorns on His head, for the blood to run down, for Him to take the rods and beat the crown of thorns upon His head to where it would go way down inside them long thorns, to nail His hands and His feet to a cross, to hang Him up between the heavens and the earth. All of that to show the suffering of the cross, that Christ would suffer for mine and your sins. Hear me. He suffered for you. He suffered for your lies, for your drinking, for your doping, for your adultery, for your idolatry. He died for your homosexual and lesbian acts. He died for your murders. He died for everything you can imagine. He died for that sin this morning. morning. He suffered and bled and died. And the preaching of the cross is power of God to salvation for anybody that'll believe. But we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. And it wasn't just physical suffering. We forget about the mental suffering. In Luke chapter 22, verse 44, when Jesus went into the garden before he went to Calvary, where I believe when he took the cup, when he took the bitter cup, I believe when he took the weight of the world on his shoulders there in Gethsemane, and being in agony, it says, and being in an agony. Have you ever noticed the words, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And being in an agony, not being in agony, being in an agony. The mental stress, the mental pain. It weren't just physical pain, but the mental pain and the mental anguish that a perfect, holy God would put on a robe of flesh, and he that knew no sin become sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in him, is beyond my comprehension. The suffering of the cross this morning. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. You can hold that scripture there. We'll read a verse or two here in a minute. Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Can I tell you the mental and the physical anguish and agony that Christ done? This is why our life is owed to him. This is why our life is to be changed. This is why we're not to live as we used to live and want to live. This is why the price that we are bought with this morning should change our minds, should change our attitude, should change all about us this morning. But it does not. Because I wonder if we're trusting something different. I wonder how much of us we're trusting instead of him. And the things I don't do. I don't do that no more. It's not reform that we need. It's regeneration that we need. Well, I quit that. I quit that. That's not the remedy. The remedy is the cross. The remedy is Jesus this morning. That's the remedy. Huh? The suffering of the cross. Let's go back to 1 Peter. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Look at it, says, the just for the unjust. The substitute on the cross. We looked at the suffering of the cross. How about the substitute on the cross? Huh? Do you know that God, for him not to judge sin, it would take away his holiness.
Yeah.
But because he's holy, he has to judge sin. And because you're a sinner, then that means he has to judge you. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So that means that you have to die. To be judged for sin according to God's holiness, you must die. You must die. But Jesus said no. 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 I'll go to the cross and die for them. You know, it's wonderful. Can you say this with me? He died for me. Can you say that with me right now? He died for me. Ain't that wonderful? Say it again. He died for me. Is that not wonderful? Can I tell you something better? Can I tell you something better? You want to hear it better? He died instead of you. He didn't just die for you, but He died instead of you. Think about that. He was my substitute. Where I should have went and died. No, He took my place. He died for me. Wonderful, wonderful. But He died instead of me. Man, it don't get no better than that to know that He died instead of me. Huh? What I'm looking at this morning, I'm looking at drunkards of the past now. Of the past, I'm looking at drunkards and whoremongers and harlots and gamblers and blasphemers, thieves and liars. That's what I'm looking at this morning. I'm looking at men and women who've tried everything there is under the sun, who've said every word that's ever been invented, who's drank every kind of alcoholic beverage and shot up and sniffed and snuffed and done everything that you can imagine doing, that's laid like dogs in heat. Huh? And God, holy God, holy God, pure holy God, pure perfect holy God, come down and died in your place that you wouldn't have to die. Oh, but that you might live this morning. Ain't nothing no better than the triumph of the cross from the wonderful God of glory that died in my place this morning. Huh? Think about that. That's the remedy. That's the remedy. The remedy ain't you being good because you can't be and you don't want to be. The remedy is Jesus Christ. And I see the suffering of the cross. I see the substitute on the cross. Think, can you imagine? We've preached so many times about Barabbas. Can you imagine Barabbas yonder in the cell? And the Pharisees and the priests out there hollering said, release unto us, release unto us, Barabbas. And they go in there to get Barabbas who's sentenced to die.
Yeah.
And they say, come on. Can you imagine? I bet he didn't want to run to the door. I bet he got in a corner.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine? Can you picture? Mean and wicked, but when it comes to die, let me tell you, that mean and wickedness leaves.
That's right.
And they get him and he knows, man. He goes to fight him. They said, why are you fighting? He said, you're not going to die. He said, well, sure. He said, no, come with us. They take him out there to all the people. And they stand him and they already know how it's going to work.
Uh-huh.
And they said, who do you want us to release? And they all say, Barabbas. And Barabbas goes free. And they take Jesus and crucify him. Huh?
Right.
You say that ain't right. I don't think it's right neither. He was a murderer. He was guilty of treason. He was as wicked as they come. Well, but so was I. So was I. And as he died in Barabbas' place. Now, I don't know. There's no record of Barabbas no more.
No.
I don't know whether he ever got saved or not. But I know one thing. The day he died, I bet he never forgot that there was a man called Jesus died in his place.
Right.
I bet he never forgot that. Now, I don't know whether he ever done anything with it, with his salvation. But I know he never forgot it. And God help us never to forget that he died in our place this morning.
Amen.
Think about it. It ought to change our life. Huh? Now, I don't know about Barabbas. I wonder sometimes if I'd been Barabbas, I'd have been the greatest preacher. Well, wait a minute. I am Barabbas.
Yeah, come on.
Then why ain't I the greatest preacher in the country? Why ain't I the greatest proclaimer that Jesus died not only for me, but he died. Think about that. He died in my place instead of me. That's the thought this morning. Not only that, it says, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Wow. And then I look here, the satisfaction of the cross, that he might bring us to God.
Yes.
You understand that there's too much against us, that God don't want us like that.
Right.
Something had to transpire to satisfy God for us to come in his presence.
Right.
And how many times have we preached about the handwritings that was against us, that he come nailing it to his cross, as Paul wrote to the church of Colossae. Nailing, blotting out the handwritings and ordinances that was against us. There in Philippians, the Gospels tell us, the epistles tell us how great he is.
Yeah.
Nailing it to his cross. Huh? Are you with me this morning?
Yeah.
He said, well, how do I know it satisfied God? Well, let's go back to Isaiah. Can I tell you that the satisfaction of the cross, you know who's satisfied? Well, let me tell you who the cross satisfied. It satisfied the Pharisees.
Yeah,
they was tickled to death that Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
It satisfied the gamblers. Because Jesus died on the cross, they had clothes to gamble for and make money. It satisfied the Roman soldiers because they thought it was funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they mocked him.
Huh?
It satisfied the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Because the devil figured he had him.
Right.
But it satisfied God.
Yeah.
Now that don't seem right when you think of all them other people that were satisfied. Does it? That don't seem right. But can I tell you, it satisfied him because he wanted you. Because God wants you. And the cross satisfied him that you might come to him. Does that blow your mind this morning? For it says in Isaiah 53, verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Huh? The satisfaction of the cross that God said, yeah, I'll take it. How do I know? Because when Christ died, he said it's finished.
That's right.
Nothing else is going to be necessary. That God was satisfied. For him to die for me. Wow. All that evil bunch was satisfied, but so was God. Because you. Christy, you couldn't have sung a better song this morning. Huh? For he knew me. Yet he loved me.
Yes.
Can I say that again?
Yeah.
For he knew me. Yet he loved me. Are you grasping that yet? He knew me. Yet he loved me.
Yeah. Come on.
Think about that. Half the time we don't even like ourselves. And he loved us. Huh? You know we don't like ourselves. We put makeup on to change our appearance. We color our hair to look different. We lose our weight and gain our weight. And we do all these things because we don't like ourselves. We try to hide. Do we not? We hide our sin. We do all the stuff in secret. All because we don't like ourselves. And he loved us. I can't comprehend. I can't comprehend. But then I want to give you something else here now. One more and we'll quit. Back to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3. Hang with me now. Don't lose me now this morning. Listen to me. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, that's why the cross, that he might bring us to God. But look at this last, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Can I tell you, I want to give you the last thing, and that's the success of the cross. See, we looked at the suffering of the cross, the substitute on the cross, the satisfaction in the cross, and now the success of the cross. Because that wasn't the end. For he was put to death, but he was quickened by the Spirit. He was made alive. See, the gospel ain't just that he died. The gospel is that he died and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That he suffered, bled, and died. All according to the Scripture. See, the cross was a success. I don't care what the Pope says. He paid the debt and arose from the grave. Ain't that one? He paid my debt and didn't just die and be forgotten, but he arose to enjoy it. How's that? He arose to welcome me into the family. He arose to save me. The cross has been a success in doing exactly what it was set out to do.
Right.
To bring us to him. Can I tell you that the cross brings people to him every day? The Bible says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Can I tell you that the cross is a magnet that pulls you to him? Somewhere in your life, you'll be pulled to the cross to make a decision whether or not to trust him or not.
Right.
That's a success. That's a success. Whether you trust him or not is up to you. But as far as God's part, he succeeded. But that's the only remedy. Cheryl, you go to piano. The Bible teaches us that he'll save whosoever will. Let him come. That's what the Bible teaches. See, the Bible teaches the suffering of the cross, the substitute on the cross, the satisfaction in the cross, and the success of the cross. And this morning, what are you going to do about the cross? How does it affect your life this morning? Have you come to Christ? Have you come to the cross? Have you? Have you come to the cross and looked up and saw him dying in your place? Have you received this wonderful Savior that died for you? Have you received this wonderful Savior that died in your place? Have you opened up and received Christ? That's the Bible term. Believe on the Lord. Receive Jesus Christ. Have you? You saved this morning? Are you truly saved this morning? You need saved today. If you ain't saved, you ought to get saved today. You can. You can. He's drawing you this morning. Won't you come? If you are saved this morning, don't let the cross make that difference it needs to make in your life today. Why don't you? Father, speak to our heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing right now. You come. Why don't you come? Why don't you come to the Lord this morning? Why don't you come to the Lord? Slip out and come and say, I come, I'm receiving Christ as my Savior.
Savior.